When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it.
All right, fellas, here we go. Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangway along for the ride. Zoom and pod right here on CLNS Media. Exclusively brought to you by Prize Picks, our exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. As we segue to the Knicks game, the Celtics should be forewarned that they may be able to do this, Robert, against Miami, but the competition as they advance is going to get tougher. Not get away with this.
I can see rooting for this, someone enjoying and rooting for this Knicks team. They've had the great what if, you know, how the Randall, because sure. They were so good in January. And if that team, if that's the team you would be playing, you do have a lot to worry about. I agree. And now the Philadelphia, because of Embiid, everything depends on Embiid, everything, you know, yeah.
Bob, what do you think of the criticizing? Because a lot of people are criticizing Embiid. Obviously, he's not at 100%, but he's been cleared by the doctors to go out there. And this is a guy who's been hurt a lot in his NBA career. So I give him credit. Like, people are criticizing him. Personally, I'm going the other way and saying, like, I love what Joel Embiid's doing, going out there and kind of gutting it out right now.
Well, this time we are on the same page. I totally agree. I admire his game. I think his heart and head are in the right place. It's a shame. His resume, I think he's played in like 60%. Remember, he missed the first two seasons. He didn't play. It's his third year. And he's always been hurt. And it's never going to end, I guess. But boy, you know, this guy is an MVP, and he's an extraordinary offensive talent. And I think he wants to play. But when he's out there, they're very dangerous. You know, that's all. But all right, we got to get to the game.
So the Sixers scored 27 points on their first 18 possessions. The Knicks scored 8 points at 20.4 seconds remaining to come back and steal the game. So does this say more about the Knicks or more about the Sixers, Bob?
Well, if you watched it, it starts off with Jalen Brunson, who had not hit a three all night.
Right.
Throws one up in the corner, bounces up. It's a Don Nelson 1969 shot, and it falls back in, and that started everything.
Nelly!
For the record, here we go. I don't know how you guys feel, but the official NBA report is that the referees blew two calls that should have been called when they were taking the ball away from Maxey. Two different times.
And it looked like football out there.
What good was
like football?
It? My question, whose interests are served by doing this, that the NBA insists on doing this? Who's, is this supposed to make Philadelphia feel better?
I don't
get it.
Right. It's good for transparency, I guess.
Yeah.
But all this does is get more people pissed off that the refs are missing big calls in crunch time. I don't see what it serves either, Bob.
I'm reading. I just found this one out in the New York Post today that the timeout that was not called, that was evident that he wanted. Now, here's the explanation. Following heart steal from Maxey, it was determined that Nurse's attempts to get a timeout at that juncture should not have been granted because, quote, it was simultaneous to heart making contact with the ball and Philadelphia not having possession, unquote. All right. You know, but it reminded me, guys, you know, the first thing I thought of, Paul Silas and Richie Powers in the triple overtime game, the most famous refusal to call a timeout, where Richie Powers looks Paul Silas in the eye and goes, I'm not calling it. And this is what led to Al Bianchi, the assistant coach, commissioning a mock championship ring for himself. The inscription inside said, F you, Richie Powers. And he wore that ring.
Tremendous.
For the rest of his life, except until he lost it in a men's room. That's another story. But anyway.
We want to hear that story. But
he told me the story that he took it off to wash his hands one time and he forgot to put it back on.
Oh.
And somebody thinks they got a valuable championship ring. He said it cost about $50 to make, you know, and it was a phony. But anyway, whoever picked up the ring. That's not secondhand. That's firsthand. He told me that himself.
Okay.
Late Al Bianchi. Anyway. That's the most famous non-call, timeout call ever. But we get back to the whole thing. This incredible sequence of events. And I'll tell you one thing. I got the guy I want to talk about that I had no idea 4 months ago that he barely existed on this earth. Isaiah Hartenstein, Jeff. The Knicks, he has given them great service this year. Starting when Mitchell Robinson went down, it was woe is us, doom and gloom. And this guy has stepped up since January, really, and given him, you know, adequate service in the middle. And he got a big offensive rebound, made an excellent outlet back pass back out, and that without that, and then he makes the block, on Maxey.
Huge block.
He's played well for them.
I mean, Maxey's got that burst. They're different players, but when I'm watching him. They're very different how they score, but the first step reminds me a little bit of Andrew Toney. Andrew Toney was obviously bigger, stronger. But they
let's go Derrick Rose. Oh, younger Derrick Rose a little bit.
Yeah.
Explosion. He was
Derrick
the most
Rose would dunk on you more consistently than Maxey.
And he's bigger than Maxey too.
Yeah, but yeah. That burst was similar. So Maxey got to the basket and Hartenstein that block was huge because again, that whole game, think about it. If Philly steals that one, you're talking now about them feeling good. They're commanding the series, and they get screwed by the refs. Hartenstein makes a great play. Everything had to go right. Brunson three. That Brunson three was such an ugly shot, but it hits the front iron and goes in. Then you get the calls. Then, it was just one thing after the other at the end of the game, the block. And now you're looking at it and you're like, there's just no way Philly's going to be able to dig out of this
right.
with Embiid at 80%.
And there's one other subtle point in there that my collaborator my friend Bill Chuck, my baseball book collaborator, pointed out that give DiVincenzo credit for having missed the shot from the left wing, more or less, the one that created the Hartenstein rebound. He repositioned himself in his real comfort zone down the middle. I hadn't thought about that, but I think that's a very good point that, you know, that he that's his favorite spot. And he repositioned himself where he could potentially do the most damage. And that was a swish. That was a swish, that second one. So, yeah. And there's so much to talk about in 20 seconds, you know, and you're right. But I'm going to larger point here. This is why we love sports. This is why every time that discussion comes up about it's just entertainment. No, it is not entertainment. You know, it's drama and real life. Unscripted. And who could have spotted that, you know, planned that out the way it unfolded. It's why we love sport. And this, that was an exhibit A to me.
Well, I think it raises a couple of issues on both sides of the critical fence of the NBA, because Adam Silver, I heard Mike Gorman this morning on the Sports Hub talk about it. These guys are talking about it. You know, Mike, as both of you know, has been around, you know, knows. And they were discussing about letting him play, right? So do you let the guys play in the end of the game? And so that the referee is not going to determine the outcome of the game. So that's one side, which I like. Right? Then on the other side.
To an extent.
Okay, that's fine. But on the other side, you know, the criticism has always been is the NBA wants more games. So the officials are going to make damn sure that Philadelphia gets a win. Because what I found interesting about this is usually this is when the other team gets the win and you go 1-1 and you go, okay, we got a series and TV gets another game, right, Jeff? And they get another gate and there's more money to be made. And that's what we always felt with NBA series. But this was just the opposite this time.
It's an excellent point, because you know, I shy away from any of those kind of conspiracy theories at all. I don't want to believe it. Maybe I'm just terminally naive and that's the case. So be it. I don't want to go there. But I think you make an excellent point here. And you're going to hear it. You know, you're going to hear it from. Well, we're going to get to LeBron in a minute and
right.
Another aspect of this. But yeah, it's a very good point. Apropos of letting them play and all that. Yeah, and it's a fine line. You know, what I hope is that I always want that the players will not put the referees in a position where they have to get involved. You know, if they're, you know, but they got to contest shots and honest defense sometimes is, you know, it's sometimes you block the shot and sometimes you foul the guy. And if it's a crucial shot, what I don't like is when they involve themselves when they don't have to be involved, you know, nitpicking outside.
Right.
Illegal picks, such as in the famous pick in the women's game, you know, the in the UConn game. That kind of stuff. That's the kind of stuff that it bothers me. But sometimes you have to make a decision on these calls in terms of somebody shooting or you know, contesting a shooter. It's those other kind of calls that you don't have to make that I think are you know, concern me the most.
Prize Picks is America's number one sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get out of the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Now get in on the playoff action. Win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 in just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play. You can make a pick and submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. This week on Prize Picks, I'm selecting Jason Tatum to dish out more than 5 assists and for his teammate Jaylen Brown to have more than 22.5 points. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit matchup to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Prize Picks. Jeff, another point I'm going to steal again from the interview. Hardy brought it up. I never would have thought of this, but my friend Hardy brought this up. Now with gambling, because none of us gamble, right? Oh. We're not in that world. But, you know, there is this aspect that the officials don't want to be involved or make a call that could affect how somebody makes money. You know, right, Jeff? Is there that feeling like I'm not going to be the guy that determines whether somebody wins a bet now because everything's legal?
Yeah, I hope that's not the case in a close game like that. I think that's more a case when you're talking about the spread at the end of a game and they're making a call that, you know, a shot at or a foul at the end of the game that could change the outcome of the line. But I think in this one, again, I just think they let him play too much at the end of the game. And it looked like a football scrum out there. And I was shocked as I'm watching it that no call was made. But they did. They let him play. And now the Knicks have a 2-0 lead. And they're not the only. I mean, there are four series right now that are 2-0. And as you said, Gary, that's not the script.
That's
not the script at all. Bob, do you? I don't want to put you in the spot. Do you have a thought on the gambling thing at all? Or
well, definitely. You know, there's so many aspects of it that, and it's that.
It's a whole new world. It's a whole new world.
I'm more concerned about it in the whole college thing, you know, than I am in the NBA thing.
Okay.
Colleges and then the prop betting, which is already rearing its ugly head. And
look at Jontay Porter.
Prop betting is the real, suddenly the unintended consequence rule of life. The prop betting is the real peril for everybody right now, more than anything. It used to be about the spread. But now it's prop betting. You know, every individual player, you know, could be, a felon.
The individual player can literally control a bet, where normally an individual player can't control the outcome of the game by himself.
Right.
A player can now control whether or not somebody else wants to make money like Jontay Porter did.
Yes. Yeah. What a bad week for Michael Porter Jr., huh? Oh, my God. Brother. Two brothers in trouble. Anyway, the gambling thing, guys, that's topic, you know, that's.
We should talk about that in the offseason more.
The reason I brought that up is I was wondering if it would affect the officials now, and the reason why they put away their whistle. That's all. Look, yeah. The three of us aren't experts in it.
But the point is, with gambling hanging out there, there's always going to be a substantial portion of the population that's going to think about that first and foremost.
Well, I mean, and again, it's legal. I mean, this is legalized gambling now. So if everything's okay, everything's on the up and up. So, like, you know, that's all. I just think it's like, I know if I'm an official, I'm probably putting away the whistle unless it's really egregious.
Well, it's,
you know, which is what we want anyways. So, but you guys say it probably went too far. All right, let's move on to now to the Lakers. Now, I want to I know we got there's a lot of meat on this bone here that we're going to chew on. But I think of LeBron. The Lakers are up 22 leading in the third, and Denver wins 101-99. This is LeBron James. I mean, Bob, this is LeBron James blowing a 22-point lead.
You know,
it's the first time I ever thought, is he hanging on too long?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to go there with necessarily, but see it as strictly a LeBron issue there. It's the team issue. But the one thing, we've had enough examples already this year, not already, but all during the course of this year, in our own experience with the Celtics and charting the league in general, that we just tend to overreact to big lead exchanges because not realizing this is simply the nature of the NBA.
Well, that's true.
Nature of the NBA in the three-point world that we now live in, that, you know, maybe 30 years ago, it was a lot harder to come back, obviously, because of, and you would have been stunned. It's no longer that stunning that you can make up these deficits in the NBA. And the ebb and flow of the league is the given. So now playoffs, it's more acute, and you're right, LeBron and involved and that team involved, but you might, instead of, we always say team has blown a lead more than we tend to think team has overcome a lead. You know what I'm saying? It's more of a positive act than a negative act. And I didn't watch this one. So I don't know, Jeff, did you guys, I didn't see the game. All I've ever seen is the highlight of game winning basket. And that's all I've seen. So I don't know how it transpired. What caused it? Were there turnovers? Were there, did you just cold? I don't know what happened.
Well, it was Anthony Davis was so good and D'Angelo Russell was so good early. And then they kind of came down to earth late and, you know, then honestly, it was Jokic just taking advantage of Anthony Davis down the stretch.
Okay.
So Jamal Murray hitting a big shot, Aaron Gordon making big plays. I just think, you know, ultimately, one of the biggest things is, again, like, I don't know if this Lakers supporting cast is as good as people thought they were going to be, right? Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura. They're good bench guys to me. They're not guys you can rely on. And then it's so much on LeBron and AD. And again, D'Angelo Russell came out. I think he made like six threes in the first, half or minute, something like that. It was crazy. When he's cooking, then you got some pressure off. But then when he went cold, it's too much on AD. And we're just seeing that now, I think. Like, two guys. I mean, look at Phoenix right now. Right. They got three guys. They got three guys. And it's not enough because your supporting cast has to be better. You can't spend all this money on two or three guys and try to fill in around them with these ancillary parts that just aren't good enough and don't fit.
Well, we've said all year that Phoenix's bench generally could go to the professional basketball federal protection witness program. You know, people wouldn't know who they are for the most part. But once they get beyond, well, who's the number four? Ayton. But and Grayson Allen, by the way, just got hurt, and who's important to them. And now they're really strapped. You know, they don't have enough deficit starts already. You're right. It's one thing about the Celtics now. You know, I firmly believe their roster is not only the best in the league 1-5, it's the best in the league 1-6, 1-7, 1-8, 1-9, and now 1-10, and maybe 11. So, because Cornette can play and Tillman can play and, maybe Brissett can play.
And they get their roles. They understand their roles. Hauser knows exactly what he's supposed to do. Richard knows exactly what his role is now. You know, when he's healthy, like, that is so important. The roster construction, and that's where you give Brad Stevens a ton of credit. What he's done constructing this roster. And I had somebody tell me this, and I know we're not on the Celtics right now, but I had somebody from the Celtics tell me this earlier this year, like a couple weeks ago. This is the lowest maintenance group they've ever been around. Like, just good, high, almost too nice.
I mean, look
up and down the roster.
I know.
You don't have any turds on this team, anything close. And you're the most talented team, and you've been the best team. Like, that may play into what you were talking about earlier, Bob, which is like, okay, yeah, they're not killers. They're not necessarily, you know, are they going to be able to keep their foot on the pedal? They're too nice in a way. Yes, that may be the one concern with this team a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's unbelievable how this team is such a high character group that doesn't give you any, you know, locker room issues or off the court issues or any of it.
I got a I'm going to revert for a second to back to the gambling. I got a sneaky prop bet for them. Ready? Sneaky prop bet. Number of sneaky offensive rebounds in a game by Peyton Pritchard.
Gets in there. He does.
He does. He's guaranteed he's good for one every night.
How about block shots by White?
I like that. But I love Pritchard offensive rebound. He's good for one sneaky offensive rebound a game, maybe two. You know, I I've been a fan of his since, you know, I've been on his side from the beginning. But it's really heartwarming for we members of the Pritchard fan club to see the way he's really become an important cog in that whole machine. And not just because of the 3-point shooting, but he is a tough, he's a dogged defender. And I said, I think he's a combination of a modern Jerry Siegfried and Jerry Seasting and Larry Siegfried and Jerry Seasting combo. So for anybody that has relevance, that's my call.
I don't remember Siegfried at all, but Jerry.
Siggy. I can still hear Johnny Most, Jeff. Siggy's in his shirt. And, you know, he was dogged, very determined. Yeah.
Jeff, you got to get the black and white film out.
Siegfried, I remember. I actually think Pritchard's way better with the ball in his hands. I remember Seasting is more.
But Seasting is the ultimate catch and shoot guy from
mid-range. 15 footer from the elbow. Yeah.
Do you know one of my favorite numbers, guys? In the last 13 games of the 1985-86 season, Jerry Seasting shot 65% from the floor. And 90% of that 65% were 15 foot jumpers. Every once in a while, there might be a layup, but not too often.
Right.
But 65%, now that's reliable shooting.
When you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right fit for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team. I mean, listen, time is money, right? And you want to make money running your business. Let LinkedIn Jobs help you find the right people to help you take that business to the next level. It's very time-consuming and, quite frankly, not very cost-efficient if you're running a business, trying to make it grow, and also hiring your new people. That's why you have to go to LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn isn't a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who are not actively searching for a new job but might be open to a perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So, if you're not looking at LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get qualified candidates within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn knows that small business, you're wearing many hats. It might not have the time or resources to hire. Like I said, time is money. You want to be making it. Let LinkedIn Jobs help you find the people to help you make more. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to help to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature to help you write your job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/scribe. linkedin.com/scribe to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I have a question. I have a question for both of you guys. I know I'm going off topic here, but you guys obviously saw CLNS Media was there to cover Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, Cedric Maxwell at Dick's Sporting Goods. I don't know where it was, which Dick's Sporting Goods it was.
Well, it's a new one in the Pru, I guess. I haven't seen it yet, but down the Pru.
So how did that happen? Do we have any idea? We need to find out, like, Larry is never at any of those.
Well, I mean, Jeff, think about it. I mean, this is a whole new, I believe, a whole new type of facility for Dick's.
Okay.
It's not your typical Dick's Sporting
Goods
store. So it's a whole new modern type of arena type of environment.
Sports Emporium, put it that way.
Right.
I haven't been there.
Me neither.
What is the one thing that would get Larry Bird money?
Signing up.
Money. Yes. Money. Yes. Money. I mean, I was thinking the same thing right there. Right there. Yeah, Bob's got it. I mean, Max is already in town, so he's good.
No,
right?
The other three, I wasn't surprised that the other three being there. We just never see Larry. Well,
and Larry left early.
Anywhere.
And Larry left first. He left first. He said, I got to go. He left first.
I saw. Right when Nick from CLNS, our guy, started asking questions with a microphone, Larry got up and he was like, I'm out of here. I'm out.
No, Larry, come on. I mean, Bob, I mean, Larry probably got a couple million.
I don't know what he's getting, but I'm sure that he's being well compensated. And he's been basically underground for quite a while. I can tell you.
He never goes out.
He's been hard to reach. So
he is the opposite of Magic Johnson in every way.
Right. I mean, it's just not his thing. I mean, it's just not his thing. So, you know, to me, I think that they probably, I mean, to get Larry there, it had to be in the, you got to fly him. Back and forth, whatever, and it had to be millions, I would think, or probably damn close.
But I'm sure it's ample
and worth every dime.
Now, was there any publicity about this? I didn't know about it either. Until Minimal. Nick Gelso posted a picture on X.
I didn't know about it either. You would have been there.
How
about the biggest win? Wait, the biggest win of this pod is Bob Ryan calling it X. How about that?
Well, what can I say? It is X now, you know.
It is X. But anyways, I do want to get to this before we get a couple of other quick topics to get to here. Why is Jamal Murray so underappreciated?
Because he plays with Jokic.
There you go.
I think it's as simple as that. Jokic is such an incredible topic of conversation.
And he's hurt, yeah.
He's hurt a lot.
But hits the game winner.
He's in Denver. Guys. Hey. They play in Denver.
They play in Denver. Yeah.
They didn't play in Denver. Put those dudes in New York or L.A. or even Boston.
Here's one I got it with the Olympics coming up. Their Canadian starting backcourt is more than likely Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jamal Murray. Can we match that?
No, probably not.
Can't beat it.
Oh, right. Right.
I mean, Shai right now might be the second best player in the NBA, and Jamal Murray is clutch. Yeah, I mean, crazy.
They've got a good roster, but they don't have a great big man, at all. But they have a lot of other components, Canada. But yes. Right away, that's a very sobering thought that they have the best backcourt in the world on paper to going into the Olympics.
What makes Adam Silver smile? It is an international game.
Oh, yeah. But to answer your question, I mean, Murray, it's hard to get Jokic is just such a, incredible phenomenon. And how about George Karl saying he thinks he's the best player he's ever seen this week? I don't know if you saw that one.
And, is that what he said?
Well,
yeah.
He
elevated him to that status. And he thinks he may be the best.
Well, I mean, I mean, obviously we saw Magic and Bird and he's got a ways to go, but he's a 7-footer.
He's going to get his third. It looks like he's on his way to MVP number 3.
Right.
We're going to find out soon.
And he's a 7-footer that can handle and shoot threes, and he can control the game by making assists. I mean,
and I love it at his pace.
At his own pace.
His pace. Nobody can stop him from going where he wants to go, though he's not a great ball handler. He's not fast. He's not that strong for his body. He's a basketball player, the ultimate example of what a basketball player can be, at 7.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you could say he's Jordan, I mean, best you've ever seen.
I'm just saying.
To
me, it's hard. Size differences make a difference in what we're looking at.
Well, defensively, then you got to go to defense. On a defense, you go to Jordan.
Now, any of you guys see the fascinating story in the New York Times yesterday on Rudy Gobert?
Oh,
go ahead.
Well, I'll try and synthesize it. Rudy Gobert has been in the cut, working with a coach slash train with coach from Brazil since for 4 years, and the Fernando Pereira is his name, and they work on mind. The mind is what, not just the physical techniques, and it's about getting reaction time. That things happen the best quickly. Your mind needs to process quickly about what to do, react, depending on what you've just seen and what you're about to see. And it's really good. I totally recommend it. You should see it. But here's just an example. Compared with the first season the two worked together in 2021, Gobert's turnovers are down 10%, assists are up 26%. And here's one. The number of field goals he has made after taking two dribbles is up 64%. Since 2019, I mean, something's going on here. It's got nothing to do with drills, not basketball drills. It's got other kind of drills. And Gobert is a complete convert to this. And the Timberwolves in general applaud it because they think he's become a much better player and a much bigger asset than he was in Utah. And they're very happy to have him. And it's fascinating. The things about that we think we know a lot about basketball, but it's always something new to learn. That's good.
I didn't think this would work. Honestly, I thought when they traded for Gobert,
I wondered too.
And I didn't think it would work with Gobert just, being a big that really can't score. I still remember him. I was at the combine years ago when he was at the combine. Mm-hmm. Probably the worst NBA combine performance I've ever seen.
Wow.
He was that awful. Oh, he was atrocious. And
it's fascinating. I just caught your attention about this story. And it's an athletic story because, the Times Sports Department is the Athletic. It's what it is. And John Krasinski wrote it. And I learned a lot. It's fascinating.
That brings us to the T-Wolves right now.
Yes, brings us to the T-Wolves.
Sun is setting on Phoenix.
Yep. And I think – I'll be surprised if they're down 0-2. I don't see them extricating themselves from this hole at all. And we talked about the lack of depth and everything. They'll win it. They'll probably win a game at home, but I'm calling five here. Yeah. On that one. No. Timberwolves, I think you got to take them very seriously. That's all.
The new West blood guys. Look, there's new blood in the league and it's good for the league. And because of the way athletes train, because of the way they take care of their bodies, the Durants and the LeBrons of the world, they can extend their careers and they can play into their late 30s and into their early 40s. But that doesn't mean that they're going to be on top like they once were. It's a new league. It's the Minnesotas, it's the Denvers, it's the Celtics.
There's another team. To me, the biggest surprise of the early going here in the first after two games, Cleveland Cavaliers, the way they played. Didn't see that coming.
They're playing Orlando. Like, I'm with you. I just don't know. Like, Orlando's not ready for this. They're not ready. They're way ahead of schedule. Yeah. And Paolo's a beast.
Yeah, I know. You're definitely a paid up member of that fan club.
Oh,
I know.
I love Paolo.
I know that.
There's just not enough around Paolo. Like, they've still got to retool their team a little bit and get more help and get like a Batman, a Robin, I'm sorry, next to their Batman, Paolo. So, but Cleveland's good. Cleveland's good. The funniest part was watching our guy George Niang have to try to guard, and he did actually a pretty good job on Paolo. Yeah, it's like they've left him on an island against Paolo, and I'm like, this could be ugly. Looks like George is eating a few donuts lately, but he finds a way to stay in front of Paolo.
And we were reminded last night of what team has started off the season scoring points at an incredible pace. The Indiana Pacers.
Yeah.
They can score. And they definitely can score. And you don't look forward to playing them either.
I mean, all right, guys. Well, that'll do it. Brought to you by Prize Picks, Bob Ryan, Jeff Gooden, Tangway along for the ride, Zoom and Pod. The exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy with Prize Picks. Gentlemen, until next week.
Yes.